One God, One Message. Chapter 6. Consistent Witness. If you want to know what the water is like, don't ask the fish. Chinese proverb. Imagine this. One hot day as you're walking alongside a river, you consider going for a swim. However, you wonder if the water is to your liking. Is the current too swift? Is the temperature too cold? Or are the conditions just right? The Chinese proverb counsels, don't ask the fish. Why are the fish that live in that very river unqualified to tell you what the water is like, besides the fact that they don't speak your language? The fish are unable to provide the necessary information because they have no reference point outside the confines of their watery existence. That limited, murky world is all they know. Likewise, if we're to ever understand the world in which we live and why we are here, such information must come from outside man's limited and self-focused worldview. The good news is that the God of heaven has provided this information for those who want it. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. How can we know that the biblical scriptures are God-breathed, that is, inspired by God? In the previous chapter, we observed that the Creator has put His stamp of authenticity on the Bible by embedding in its pages hundreds of prophecies which have been fulfilled. Only God can repeatedly predict the distant future with 100% accuracy. Another way God has established the trustworthiness of His revelation is by disclosing it to many prophets over many centuries. God told Moses, "One witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." Deuteronomy 19:15. This principle is recognized around the world. More than one witness is required in a court of law to establish the truth. Before a statement can be accepted as factual, it must be substantiated by several reliable sources. In revealing His truth, God did not set aside His own law, which states, "One witness is not enough." The Scriptures declare that the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, has allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, He did not leave Himself without witness. Acts 14:15-17. Even the most isolated tribes on earth have the outward witness of creation, seeing the things their Creator has made, and the inward witness of conscience, an inbred sense of right, wrong, and eternity. Every person on earth has been given some light, some truth. Thus, God declares mankind to be without excuse. Nonetheless, He promises to give further light to all who diligently seek to find and know their Creator. God has never left Himself without witness. During the inaugural 1,000 years of human history, God either spoke directly with people, or He made His truth known through the oral testimony of the first humans. Adam, the first man, lived to be 930 years old. People living in the first millennium of human history were without excuse for not knowing the truth about their Creator-owner, since they could have interviewed the original witnesses, Adam and Eve. The longevity of the first humans was about 11 times longer than the average lifespan today, which the Creator has set to be 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Psalm 90, verse 10. Around 1920 B.C., God singled out an aged man to whom He later gave the name Abraham. God promised to make of Abraham a nation through which He would teach the nations of the world important lessons about Himself and His plan for mankind. It would also be through this chosen nation that God would provide the prophets and the scriptures and send the Messiah into the world. Around 1490 B.C., God called on a man from within that nation to be His spokesperson. His name was Moses. God inspired Moses to write the first section of Holy Scripture, the Torah. The Creator of heaven and earth purposed to make His truth available in written form for future generations until the end of time. He put into Moses' mind the words to be written. God authenticated His word to the nations with mighty miracles by the hand of Moses. God also revealed future events, which Moses announced to the Egyptians and the Israelites. Everything happened exactly as Moses predicted. God left no room for reasonable doubt. Even the toughest skeptics had to admit that the God who spoke through Moses was the true and living God. Moses was the first in a long line of prophets who recorded God's word over a period of at least 1,500 years. The prophets came from a variety of backgrounds. Some had no formal education. Although they lived in different generations, what they wrote presents a perfectly unified message from start to finish. God chose men like Moses, David, Solomon, and about 30 others to write the Old Testament scriptures. He authenticated his word with fulfilled promises and prophecies, and with miraculous signs and wonders. In the New Testament, the origin, life, words, work, death, and resurrection of the Messiah are recorded by four men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four men wrote the gospel record, called the Injil in Arabic, thus providing the world with four separate testimonies. God also inspired Peter, a fisherman, James and Jude, Jesus' half-brothers, and Paul, a scholar and former terrorist, to explain in glorious detail God's present and ultimate purposes for his people. The Apostle John wrote the final book of the Bible, which graphically foretells how world history, as we know it, will conclude. In all, God used about 40 men over more than 15 centuries to record his revelation for mankind. Even though most of these witnesses never knew each other, all the things they wrote fit together to form the ultimate story and message. Who but the one unfettered by the span of a single lifetime could have transmitted such a consistent narrative? Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Over the centuries, many have tried to discredit the New Testament writers and their message. The writings of the Apostle Paul are especially attacked. The Apostle Peter exhorts us to take Paul's writings seriously. Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. 2 Peter 3:15-16. Everything the Apostle Paul wrote is in harmony with what the prophets wrote. As Paul himself testified, "Having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Do you believe the prophets?" Acts 26:22-27. The trustworthiness of a witness is tested not by the amount of truth contained in the person's testimony, but by the absence of any inconsistency. This is illustrated by the following anecdote. One sunny day, four high school boys couldn't resist the temptation to skip classes. The next morning, they explained to their teacher that they had missed her class because their car had a flat tire. To their relief, she smiled and said, "Well, you missed a quiz today." But then she added, "Take your seats and get out a pencil and paper. The first question is, which tire was flat?" The boys' conflicting answers on this one point exposed their fabricated story. In contrast to the contradictory testimony of these four boys, God's testimony is consistent. Using dozens of witnesses and writers over countless generations, our Creator has revealed Himself and His plan with flawless consistency. In the midst of the turbulent ocean of man's contradictory religions and philosophies, God has provided and preserved for us an immovable rock upon which we can rest our souls. That rock is His Word. We have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. 2 Peter 1:19-2:3. Thus the Word of God warns against covetous, self-seeking prophets and teachers who will exploit you with deceptive words. The Bible includes numerous stories about men who claimed to speak for God, but whose message was in fact inspired by a lying spirit. 1 Kings 22:22. The scriptures describe a time in Israel's history when there were 850 false prophets and only one true prophet, Elijah. While 7,000 Israelites remained faithful to the one true God, millions of others chose to believe the self-serving false witnesses. Micah, one of God's faithful prophets, wrote, "Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray. They cry peace, but against him who puts nothing in their mouths they declare holy war. Micah 3:5. That is the pattern of history, which is why Jesus warned, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." Matthew 7:13-17. Over the centuries, countless bad prophets and teachers have come and gone. Some have influenced hundreds and thousands, while others have led millions and even billions of souls down the way that leads to destruction. If you want to avoid becoming one of the many who blindly follow a false prophet to destruction, then filter that person's teaching through this grid. The message of a true prophet always harmonizes with the confirmed prophetic scriptures that preceded him. Consider the following three case studies of men who claimed to be prophets of God. Were they true or false prophets? Case 1. A buried Messiah. History catalogs dozens of self-proclaimed prophets and messiahs who lived after the time of Christ. One was Abu Isa. Abu Isa of Persia lived in the latter part of the 7th century. His followers believed him to be the Messiah because he said he would lead them to victory. And although he was illiterate, he reportedly wrote books. But his message contradicted the scriptures. Abu Isa taught his followers to pray 7 times a day and to follow him into battle, promising them divine protection. However, after Abu died in battle, was buried, and failed to come back to life, his followers had to admit that he was not the Messiah. Long before Abu's time, Jesus had warned his listeners, "False Christs, messiahs, and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand." Matthew 24:24-25. Case number 2. A suicide prophet. Jim Jones founded a cult called the People's Temple. In the early 1970s, Jones was a popular preacher in San Francisco, California. He was known for his ability to mobilize multitudes to participate in politics and in projects to help the poor. Jones called himself the prophet and claimed to have power to heal cancer patients and raise the dead. Eventually, Jim Jones convinced more than 1,000 of his followers to follow him to Jonestown in Guyana, South America. In this new community, the prophet Jim promised his disciples a life of peace and happiness. But it was a huge lie. Jones was nothing more than a ravenous wolf in sheep's clothing. As reported by the San Francisco Chronicle, November 18, 1978, Jones orders his flock to kill themselves by taking cyanide. Those who refuse are forced to take the poison. Children are killed with injections. Eventually, 914 bodies are found in Jonestown, including that of Jones himself. Case number 3. An unconfirmed holy book. Joseph Smith was born in North America in 1805. Reared in poverty and superstition, as a young man he began to tell people that he was God's prophet. He claimed that God had spoken to him in a series of visions through an angel of light called Moroni. Smith wrote, "I was seized upon by some power which entirely overcame me, and had such an astonishing influence over me as to bind my tongue so that I could not speak. Thick darkness gathered around me, and it seemed to me for a time that I was doomed to sudden destruction." Next, Smith tells how a pillar of light appeared over his head, above the brightness of the sun, which descended gradually until it fell upon him. Smith proclaimed that God had revealed to him a new holy book, the Book of Mormon. He told his followers that the Bible came from God, but that his new book was God's latest revelation. Smith taught people to recite prayers, fast, give alms, do good works, and accept him as a prophet. Meanwhile, he himself practiced and legitimatized a self-seeking and sensuous lifestyle. Although Joseph Smith's revelations were unconfirmed by any other witnesses, though he claimed to have 3, and despite the fact that his book contradicts the Bible, history, and archaeology, today, millions of people adhere to the religion of Mormonism. The affluent Mormon Church sends its missionaries all over the world, and every day hundreds of people become Mormons, also called Latter-day Saints. Most Mormons are sincere, nice people. But if you compare the message of the prophet Joseph with what the prophets of the Bible proclaimed and wrote, you will discover two radically different messages. To stake our eternal destiny on the conflicting, unconfirmed message of a self-proclaimed prophet, no matter how articulate or intelligent he may be, is unwise. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. In a confused world, where multitudes have exchanged the truth of God for the lie, Romans 1:25, the one true God has clearly distinguished his truth from the multitude of counter voices. One way God has clarified and confirmed his message is by revealing it progressively, with perfect consistency, to many prophets over many generations. Only the author who exists outside of time could have inspired such a revelation. In the past few chapters, we've encountered many proofs that show the Bible to be God's Word. Yet, as convincing as these and other evidences are, the most compelling certification of God's message is found simply in hearing it, understanding it, and embracing it. The unfolding drama of God's book reveals the one who is infinitely above and beyond our imaginative powers. It displays our Creator's glorious and perfectly balanced nature. It delivers people from the fear of death and provides them with the sure hope of everlasting life. It transforms their character and conduct. It leads them to the one true God. No devil or man could have come up with such a message. But don't take my word for it. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21.